Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
And welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. I am very happy to be back behind the microphone. It's been a few weeks since I last recorded. You hear conversations regularly, but since I was last with you, me sitting here at my desk, I've been in Mississippi with my parents, again, seeing to my mom's care, and I'm so grateful for all of the prayers of everybody that's been lifting us up. I can't tell you how much that means to me. So we're so grateful, and know that when I get your messages. I can't reply to each one of you, but I just want to say thank you so much for the compassion that you're showing for my parents. It's really, really a gift. And speaking of gifts, we have an amazing one today. We have a great guest on the program today. Joining us is Mrs. Veronica Burchard. And Veronica is the Vice President of Programs at Sophia Institute for Teachers. She is a former homeschooling mom. I think once a homeschooling mom, always a homeschooling mom. But and now she works with teams of theologians, authors, and pilot teachers to write out and edit classroom materials and develop and present programs for Catholic educators. Cradle Catholic, Veronica holds a master's in English and joined Sophia Institute team after spending 7 years teaching, 9 years developing curriculum and programs in the nonprofit world, and 6 years homeschooling her two sons, who went on to attend a small Catholic high school, which teaches in the classical tradition. So happy to have her on the program today. Welcome to the show, Veronica Burchard.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. I appreciate the chance to speak with you and your listeners.
Oh, it's a real treat. And what we have to speak about today is this amazing program, this curriculum that you've developed, Spirit of Truth. But before we dive into that, I always like to just get to know you a little bit more and to learn a little bit more about your faith story. So, Veronica, we've read your official bio, but why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your family and where you find yourself right now in your faith journey?
Sure. Oh, gosh. Well, definitely, definitely blessed beyond measure. I was raised Catholic, you know, as you said early on, and my husband and I are high school sweethearts. And so we met in ninth grade English, and this is B in class.
Wow.
And so isn't that, yeah, that's really something. But so we together raised two boys. And I think I always sort of knew deep down that I wanted to homeschool, felt like maybe I didn't have the confidence or, you know, just didn't know that I would be able to do it. But after, the private school where we had them for a little bit closed, and we kind of found ourselves with no other option, and then just kind of try to take the bull by the horns and realize that I wished I'd done it from the very beginning. It was the best thing for our family and just brought us all closer together, and tried to definitely view it as a way for us to grow in faith together, you know, to make our home, you know, this authentically Catholic place, you know, where we just live in love for the Lord, and raising them in that tradition was just the biggest blessing that we could hope for. And eventually, you know, we did find an amazing school, this really small classical school that we were able to send them, but they grew up together, you know, so close and in that foundation, and now one's going to be off to college.
Wow.
And, so kind of getting used to that, and my younger one's a rising junior. So Yeah.
That's You're seeing some of the fruits of that. Can I ask, had you been a teacher before you began homeschooling?
Yes. Yeah. My first love had always been writing, reading and writing literature. And so I have a master's in English and taught high school English. I taught 9th through 12th grade, a variety of ages in there for several years. And I should say, when we homeschooled, I did not do the math.
Oh, good.
Math was all my husband.
It's a family affair. I often told my children, who are adults now, that had I homeschooled them, that I would have had to stop when letters became involved in math, because I'm not a math person either. So
definitely, I'm with you.
That's great. Well, and how many years between the two of them?
They are 2 years and nine months apart.
Okay. Actually, that's great. So you were kind of, they were at different places in their progress in terms of.
Yeah. I mean, I guess every parent thinks their children are really smart, but I feel like they were really smart, and I was able to I would teach them both the same things each day, even though they weren't, quote unquote, you know, the same grade levels, but yeah.
That's great. Well, you know, I'm of the generation of moms that there wasn't a lot of homeschooling going on when my kids were little, and it since has become such an amazing phenomenon, you know, not only in Catholic families, but in many families that just choose to prioritize this type of education for their children for a variety of reasons. And now you're with Sophia Institute, which is, you know, many of our guests on the podcast come for Sophia Institute because they're just doing amazing things with, you know, books in general, but you've been a part of this curriculum, Spirit of Truth, and this is a home edition that we're talking about today. Can you give us kind of an overview of the product and what all is involved in Spirit of Truth?
Sure. Yeah. Well, the our mission at Sophia Institute for Teachers is really clear, and it's to lead souls to heaven. So everything we do, we kind of look at through that lens, like whether it's a book for a classroom or like this, something for families, for parents to use with their children. We just look at it through that lens. Is this going to help people grow in their faith, grow in holiness, grow in knowledge of the faith, and help them live out their vocation? So we had been creating materials for use in Catholic schools for about 5 or 6 years. So we started in 2013 as an apostolate of Sophia Institute Press, which has been around for about 35 years or 40 years. And so as we were pursuing that mission of creating these materials for Catholic schools, we found that a lot of homeschooling parents were actually reaching out to us and asking for advice on, we've seen your materials and, they, for whatever reason, were attracted to them and wanted to learn more and wanted to know if they could adapt them for use at home. And of course, we told them, yes, please do. We're so honored that you want to do this. But as the request kind of became greater in number, we thought, you know, there's a real need here. There seems to be a kind of hunger for something new in this space. And so we decided to take the core content, which I use grade levels because it's the easiest way to talk about it, but I know that not all homeschoolers use that kind of language. But just for the sake of clarity, it runs from kindergarten through eighth grade. And in each grade level, we've got a full guide for the parents and then a full workbook or activity book for the child. And so it's a little different from a kind of traditional sort of teacher's guide or parent guide and student book in that there's really a lot of, I guess, integration, you would say, between those two. We wanted to set out to create something that parents and children, we call it, we took what we call an incarnational approach. So like Jesus, like the Son of God who assumed a human nature to come and be with us. And he taught his disciples by drawing near to them and getting to know them in this kind of personal, you know, being present to each other relationship. We really wanted our approach in our homeschooling curriculum to kind of to follow that. So there's plenty of things for children to do kind of more independently. So it's not all demanding the parent to be a part of it, but really like a lot of it, a big chunk really depends on the parent being with the child and talking about things. So there's a lot of discussion points. There's a lot of activities or ideas for things to do that sort of, I guess, kind of capitalize on the fact that you are homeschooling. Like, the reason that you homeschool is so you can do some of these things together. So whether it's a suggestion to go on a pilgrimage or to take a walk in nature with a specific goal of appreciating God's creation, or just looking in wonder at a beautiful flower, or learning about the animal kingdom. Those types of experiential pieces are a part of it as well. So learning the doctrine in a lot of different ways, not only what might be thought of as like a traditional approach where you read and answer questions. There is, don't get me wrong, there is quite a bit of reading and answering questions. We wanted to add a layer as well, though, which is that kind of growing in faith together, making your home a holier place, getting mom and dad involved in that transmission of the faith, which is the, you know, as we know, it's the primary duty of parents, is to pass on either by themselves or in partnership with a school. But it is parents' primary duty to give their children that spiritual life, that education in the faith. So we really wanted to help parents do that.
I think that's actually a gift of a program like this. I'll share when my children were preparing for their sacraments. My husband is a convert to the faith, and he came into the church the same year that my younger son, who's 3 years older than my older son, the year that Adam was making his first communion. That's the year that Greg came into the church, and
awesome.
He received his first communion too. But I'll say that during Eric's sacramental preparation, while Greg was certainly supportive of Eric's being raised in the faith, he was not active in it. And so that fell to me, with the assistance and amazing assistance of our Catholic school and the teachers there. But I'll say that that's around the time that I started Catholic Mom. And the reason why was because I recognized that even though I had been born and raised Catholic in a very Catholic family with about as much Catholic education as you can, I felt a hole in my own preparation. And so it was very enjoyable when I was teaching Eric to actually be learning the faith again myself through new eyes as an adult. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great gift of this program that while your express purpose is not to catechize adults, you're doing that, you know, through what you've created, that when we have the opportunity to see things afresh through the eyes of our children, we encounter that truth and beauty and goodness for ourselves in a whole new way that maybe is not an intended purpose of this, but that is greatly needed right now in the church. That's fantastic.
Oh, I think, thank you for saying that so beautifully. Yeah. I think that's exactly right. And and we do actually hear it from parents who have already begun using it, and even before the school teachers who would use our materials separate from this. But it's a beautiful thing that we see there as well, which is they would say, I never knew that, or I never understood it in that way. And so, yeah, it is a gift to help, whether it's a teacher in a school or a parent, to grow in that vocation. Is a wonderful outcome that, yeah, we're really blessed to hear anytime someone says that to us, we take it to heart and are very grateful.
It's funny, I do school visits quite frequently, and actually homeschool visits as well via Skype quite frequently with my children's books. And it's something that I often tell the children is that, you know, you are a role model for your parents, that your parents need to encounter Jesus's love through what you teach them. And I think when we affirm that for our kids and show them that they're, you know, that they are spreading light and love too, it's a great gift. I want to clarify for anybody listening who's not a homeschooler that a resource like this does not just have to be used in a traditional homeschool setting. If you're a family member, your responsibility is to share the faith with your family. And even if your children are in a public school or traditional Catholic school, resource like this can be a complement to what your children are learning at school. Do you have any families that are using it in that way, Veronica?
Oh, that's such an interesting question, and I will have to find out. I don't doubt it, though. And I know we've had some grandparents inquire about that very thing. And I think, yeah, there's nothing in it that obviously that would compete, because it's all going to complement what they're learning. And there's features throughout it that are just called Catholic family life. You know, that are, these are just things to do. They're not necessarily like sit down and do something like in a school setting, as you said. It's not just necessarily filling out a worksheet. It's more things to do together. So how to, I mean, even something on one side of the spectrum, you know, praying before meals, if that's not a habit that your family is in, you could consider adding that. And here's why, you know, and giving some feedback for how that can really sort of change the experience of having a meal together, is if you begin with prayer, or prayers to say in the evening, or stories to tell at bedtime, and then draw out some stories of how the characters acted virtuously, you know, just for example. So these aren't necessarily school experiences, but can add so much to your children's education and even your spouse, you know, as you share these ideas together, it's going to spark your own thinking and just, I think, and then bear fruit in your family life.
I've spoken with a few pastors lately as well who are taking the approach in their religious education in their parishes. Maybe these are smaller parishes where, you know, they don't have a full DRE position and, you know, lots of catechists or whatever, that they're looking at complementing families' faith formation of their children in the home. And it seems to me that that spirit of truth would be just a great blessing for a program like that, to be able to do something like that.
Well, you know, every unit in the parent guide begins with an essay for the parent to read. And so, you know, for some parents are going to, it's just going to be a refresher if they read it. But I think even for them, there might just be some little nugget that they hadn't considered before. And then, of course, for some parents, it might be, you know, they really need this background and they're really hungry for it. And so throughout each of the week plans, there's a lot of background because, you know, like none of us remembers everything from our Catholic education, and some of us didn't get a super awesome Catholic education. I know I'm kind of part of a generation that isn't known for being the best catechized.
So I'm really good at making felt banners, though. so funny.
Yeah, I think that's a nice point as well. And there's a lot in there really to form the parent, because we can't give what we don't have. And so we wanted to make sure that even if, you know, in theory, you want to teach your kids about the faith and you want to do a good job, but if you don't feel confident in your own knowledge, what we've tried to do is give you something that's going to provide that to you before you sit down to teach your kids. And a lot of it's in the student workbook, but a lot of it is in the parent guide as well for the parent. And, you know, we've even thought through common questions, you know, or common objections. So if it's a difficult teaching, something like, you know, why is there evil in the world? Or, you know, why does God let bad things happen to good people? You know, questions that are natural to ask, especially when you're learning some of this stuff. And so whenever we saw opportunities to help parents begin to answer questions like this, we did. And then also just kind of encouraging the parents, these can be such moments of grace if you're asked a question like that from your child, even if you don't know the answer, but you look into it together, or you read something then together to try to find it out, or you have a conversation with your pastor, these can be real moments of grace to grow in faith together.
I'd like to ask you, Veronica, from the perspective of this busy, you know, busy educated woman educating your family and doing all this work, you know, how you kind of, one thing that I know I struggled with when my children were younger was finding sufficient time for my own prayer life. And I'm kind of curious about how you'd talk about that, both as a homeschooling mother and, you know, a working mother now, kind of how you and your husband find time for your private prayer lives and how the faith is lived out in your family in a way that nurtures you.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me begin by saying I'm not an expert here. And I know, you know, every family, the demands on their time are going to be different. For me, it often, like, very frequently boils down to waking up super early, which I know is not for everyone. I mean, I'm also extremely blessed to work at, I work in a Catholic environment, and so there's so much support through the day. You know, at work, we actually start our day with morning prayer, which I know isn't an option in an organized way for a lot of people. We also have a Catholic parish just literally two blocks away, so a lot of us will go for daily mass. And of course, we'll pray as a family at home, whether it's a rosary or just evening prayer, have a prayer corner in the home somewhere that is, this is clearly where we go to be with God. And that's just a regular, I want to say it's taken for granted. That's not literally what I mean, but hopefully right. You kind of know what I mean. It's just a part of our day that, if we ever feel like we're too busy to pray, that's when we most need to pray.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but definitely blessed in my own personal situation where I have a supportive work environment and easy access to mass. And just a wonderful pastor, too. And both my boys are altar servers. And although my older one's going to be serving his last one soon as he's about to go off. But yeah,
oh, my goodness.
I guess maybe just being part of a community, I think, and that's how we're meant to. That's how we're meant to worship and live out the Christian life is in community. So I suppose as I hear myself answer that question, it kind of makes sense.
I like your answer to it as well, because honestly, a lot of people who don't homeschool sort of have this maybe assumption that homeschooling is about withdrawing from community and going inward. And I hear you saying something that very much flies in the face of that, that your experience of it has been supplemented by your faith community.
I think that is a little bit of a stereotype or an assumption that if you're homeschooling, you're somehow withdrawn. But really, I've found it to be kind of the opposite in that you're freed. You know, you have the whole day, so you don't have to kind of work around while we're in school from 8 to 4. And what we have left is this time. You can really take the initiative to be involved, whether it's in your parish or other organizations, to have that. And then you're interacting with people from different ages and just kind of a balanced sort of kind of reflects family life, I suppose, with different generations. So, yeah, I don't think it was.
So, Veronica, can you say a few words about theological oversight for a program like Spirit of Truth? What kinds of checks and balances the curriculum goes through before it's placed into the hands of families?
Yeah, sure. Well, there's two major tracks on that. So one was the academic and theological, I guess I would say academic / theological / spiritual advisors. So everything that we publish has at least two set of eyes of PhD equivalent eyes who are, checking it for theological accuracy. And and even as we're drafting it, it's just the highest priority is to make sure that it's faithful to church teaching, and we're drawing specifically on the catechism and then also church documents. So we use a lot of primary sources in that regard. So students or children, parents are reading what the church actually says. We're in the language of the church, which I think makes a really big difference. But we also then send those drafts to our academic advisors, who make any comments or feedback and let us know what needs to be changed, if anything. This isn't exactly what you asked, but just because it's interesting, I'll share that we'll also, from a practical standpoint, get feedback from other homeschooling parents. Can you review this? How did this work? How would you change this? Based on your experience. And so we take that's what a pilot teacher, quote unquote, is. And so, but we get their feedback. And then if we get the same type of feedback from multiple parents, then we think, yeah, we should change that. And so we did.
And one of the kind of express stated purposes of the program, and this I'm finding this on your website over at SophiaInstituteForTeachers.org, and we'll have that linked up in our show notes for everybody that's listening. You know, you talk about rebuilding the domestic church as an outcome of this program. And I have to say that, you know, as somebody who loves her church so greatly, but also just sometimes shakes her head at all the crazy, sometimes really bad things that seem to be happening lately. Why is this such a critical component and pillar, not only of your program, but of what we need to be doing in our homes, rebuilding our domestic church?
Oh, wow. What a great question. I mean, the family is, I'm going to get this quote wrong, but something like that Pope St. John Paul II said, like, where the family goes, the world goes. I've messed that up, but I just think it couldn't be more true these days, that the family is the first society. You know, it's where children will form their first conception of who God is, you know, and what the world is. And parents are ordained really, you know, in their marriage. The graces that they receive in marriage prepare them, you know, give them that strength to endure in their marriage, to persevere in their marriage vows, and to educate their children and be those first heralds of the gospel. And so that is, it's just so important that, I just think there can't be anything more important. So, I guess I get kind of emotional about it, but yeah, anything that we can do to help parents in that job, which is, it's just fundamental to who they are, and it's so important for their kids to have that model, you know, or just that sense from the very beginning that that they know that God is love and that God loves them and that He's given them all these ways to shower them with His mercy. And the more you learn about your faith, it's going to then take root. You know, I think of like the parable of the sower. And so we can scatter our seeds, but we really need like that deep soil for them to take root. And so the domestic church, I think, can be that deep soil. And parents, siblings, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, extended family, you know, just growing in faith together, I think just gives our culture that foundation.
Well, it's a beautiful answer and such a great program available in both English and Spanish. Is that correct?
Spanish.
Okay, yet, I'm looking at something else on your website that's available in Spanish. Never mind. Maybe coming soon to Spanish in English. And definitely, folks, please check out the Sophia Institute for Teachers website, which is filled not only with information about this program, but so many other great resources and lesson plans and all kinds of great things over there to supplement. I'm curious if there are any kind of closing thoughts, Veronica, that you'd like to share with our listeners, or anything that we haven't asked about that you feel is significant to mention at this point.
Oh, thank you, Lisa, for that opportunity. No, I guess I would just say thank you again, and just to everyone listening, Sophia Institute for Teachers wants to help you share Christ with others. And so definitely check out our website. There's so much on the website that is free. I'll just share one thing that is would be a help to any Catholic family, homeschooling or not, is we have a feature on our website called The Joy of the Gospel. And so it's a way to bring the liturgical year to life and kind of live out the liturgy. So it's a lesson, quote unquote, a lesson on every Sunday gospel throughout the year. And we've got a variety of activities, some for younger kids, some for older kids, and then of course something for the parents to, so if you look at it in one sense, you're just kind of getting ready for Sunday Mass, and your kids hear the gospel, they'll have talked about it already with you, and they'll get a little bit more out of it. But then also just bringing the liturgical year to life, living out that church year, as we were talking about the domestic church, is just something that I'd recommend people check out, in addition to, of course, our homeschooling Spirit of Truth edition.
Well, I'm so, I really want to encourage people to check it out. We'll have links in our show notes over at the website, at lisahandy.com, for you to get a hold of all these resources. Veronica, thank you so much for the great work that you're doing, and just please pass along my gratitude to your colleagues as well for placing a priority on family and, helping us to make it so easy to share the faith in a beautiful way with our children.
Oh, thank you, Lisa, and thank you so much for all the good you're doing for the church. It was great to be able to speak with you today. Thanks so much, and God bless.
Thank you. Well, friends, again, you can visit lisahendy.com for links in our show notes to all the resources that we talk about here on the podcast. And this week, especially, be sure to check out sophiainstituteforteachers.org/homeschool for the information about Spirit of Truth. I think you'll find this to be a very affordable investment in your family, and something that will bless not only the child that you're educating, but you as well. Whether you are a homeschooler or simply someone who wants to share the faith in your home, definitely check it out. Great resources. And that's about it for this week's podcast. But before I wrap up, I do want to remind you that one great way that you can help to support the podcast is to visit breadboxmedia.com, where we find our podcast home. Those messages that you hear prior to the podcast do not benefit me directly, but those go directly to support the network, which does such a beautiful job producing and sharing this show. So please visit Breadbox Media. And definitely to help me improve in my podcasting, it would bless me if you could go to wherever you listen to the show and leave a brief review or star rating. Your constructive feedback helps me to get better at what I do. If there's a guest that you'd like to hear on the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. You can reach me anytime by email to lisahendy@gmail.com. And you can find me on social media. I love social media, so check me out at anywhere at Lisa Hendy. That's LISAHENDEY. Until next week, please know that you're in my prayers, and let's just continue this journey towards Jesus together. I really have enjoyed being with you, and I'll see you next week. God bless.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.